It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the author of a new book says there's a ton of pressure on today's youth to achieve, and that's hurting their mental and emotional well-being. First, Keely Voltina joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the biggest share of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible. Hey, Keely.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for letting me join you on Central Time. During this hour, we are looking for 15 people to join in with a gift. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on.
It's the first day of the drive. Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Start with yours right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. However, it is voluntary listener contributions that are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the perfect time of year for this very special thank you gift. Ask for the new WPR baseball cap. This light green hat features a retro embroidered radio. Very cool. It's also got the WPR branding, of course. It's great for fall or winter or spring or summer or fall. It shows your commitment to essential news and quality entertainment across the seasons. So ask for yours when you give a gift of $15 a month or more. You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Have you ever done that thing where you get where you're going in the car? Say, and you're listening to a thing on public radio, and it's time to get out of the car, but you don't want to get out of the car because you want to hear the rest of that thing. That's, you know, people have a name for it. They call it a driveway moment. Maybe you've even had one recently.
Yeah, and then you wind up sitting in the car for too long with the windows up, and you don't realize how hot it's getting in these fall days. It happens. It's real. It's amazing. And it's time to support your source for radio that's so compelling that you don't want to miss a word. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And if you're driving right now, be safe. Pull over before you make your gift.
We know your time is important. We value your time. So the people smarter than me, actually, there's a lot of people. People smarter than me have made it so it takes just a few minutes to give to WPR. All you need is to give your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and then how you want to pay.
I know. It seems like we could both handle that, Rob. It's a pretty quick deal. It's easy to do. And your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes, support the station that you count on. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Looking for a goal of 15 gifts over the course of this hour. These goals are important. They're set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Just one more shameless plug for that very cool cap, that baseball cap. I almost said hat, and I know that's a big debate with people, whether it's a cap or a hat.
They're all hats. Beanies, it's a hat.
It goes on your
cap,
head.
It's a hat.
It
sombrero,
has a bill.
Hat.
Thank you for that, Rob. I really appreciate it. We do not have a sombrero, but we do have a very neat WPR baseball cap that you can add to your wardrobe. That's at the $15 a month level or more. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and wear your new hat with pride, knowing that you make the news and the inspiration that we rely on possible.
If you are not a sustainer already, you can become one right now. Easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That'll provide reliable support for the radio you love.
Rachel in McGuanago says, I'm giving to support Rob's engaging, dynamic interviews. Well, well, well. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Really appreciate it. How about you? You count on Wisconsin Public Radio to bring you great news, information, conversation to keep you connected with the world. We really do count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift right now. You can take just a few minutes online. Go to WPR.org or make a phone call at 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. As parents see the academic and working worlds become increasingly competitive, a lot of them expect a lot from their kids as they juggle academics, sports, activities, jobs, and more. Our next guest says that a hyper-focus on achievement is creating anxiety, depression, and more for many young people, but there's a better way. In her new book, she says parents can help their kids succeed without causing unnecessary stress. And the starting point is to look at kids as people, developing their sense of selves and their connections with others instead of as a list of achievements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does your child experience a lot of stress and anxiety from school? Is there a lot of pressure to get the great grades, do the activities to build up that resume maybe for college? How are you working with them? Do you feel like sometimes you're working against them? Did you feel a lot of pressure to succeed when you were in school? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer Wallace is a journalist and the author of the New York Times bestselling book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you focus on kids in high-achieving schools, and many times parents hoping for the best for the schools, for their kids in the school. There's a sense, there's almost a cliche out there, oh, these coddled kids today, they have things so easy. That is not what you found when you started digging into things.
It isn't. And actually, one researcher I spoke to said that she thought these kids were the opposite of coddled. They were pushed and pushed. I started this research because I myself am a mother of three teenagers. And I wanted to know, was this what I was feeling in my house? Was it being felt everywhere? And I will tell you, after 4 years of researching and traveling all around the country, this achievement pressure is being felt everywhere.
What is driving that? Because it's worse, you say in the book, than it used to be.
Yes. So when I was growing up in the 70s and early 80s, life was generally more affordable. Housing, healthcare, higher education, food was more affordable. Parents, you know, when I was growing up, parents were relatively assured that even with some missteps, our kids, their kids would most likely be able to replicate their upbringing, if not do even better. That was the American dream, right? To do even better than your parents. But today's modern parents are really seeing the first generation millennials who are not doing as well as their parents are. And so parents are absorbing these new macroeconomic forces, steep inequality, the crush of the middle class, hyper competition that's come with globalization. They're absorbing these pressures and becoming social conduits, sort of passing these pressures and anxieties about the future onto their kids and their parenting. This is not to blame parents. This is simply to give parents a context on why they feel they must parent so intensively.
You talk to a lot of parents who are in this zone, this sense that they need to promote achievement for their kid. You also talk to many of their kids. What kind of things were you hearing about how this actually plays out in their daily lives?
Yes. Well, I was listening to kids who were trying to get by on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I heard about peers competing with each other and undermining each other's efforts in order to get ahead. What I heard was what used to be buffers in a child's life, close friendships, relationships with parents and teachers and coaches, those relationships in too many cases were just added sources of pressure. It feels as though for so many kids, these buffers, the relationships that are supposed to buffer against the stress, now just add to it.
Let's talk about how we talk to kids about these things. One trap that is easy to fall into, I have kids who are 20 now, I'm sure I did this over the years, complimenting them solely on the achievement, on the good stuff.
Yes, so it's so easy, and I've certainly fallen into this trap myself. But one psychologist I interviewed gave me great advice that I have really implemented in my home. He said, the self becomes stronger, less by being praised, which can feel like pressure, and more like being known. So what I've done in my own house is I call it getting a PhD in my kids. I try to find out who my kids are uniquely. What makes them tick? What are their natural character strengths? And I point them out as much as I can. Instead of focusing on their achievements, I focus on who they are deep at their core.
The pratfall, the pitfall, when we only focus on those achievements, you write, is you heard from kids who feel like, you know, do my parents only love me when I get the A or when I make the team or whatever?
Yes, exactly. I will tell you, for this book, I went in search. I heard those stories, but then I went in search of the healthy strivers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what they had in common. What was home life like? What was school like? Their relationships with their peers. And I found a bunch of about 14 or so things that these healthy strivers had in common. But it boiled down to this. These healthy strivers felt like they mattered for who they were deep at their core, away from their achievements, away from their successes. The kids who seemed to be struggling the most were those, as you mentioned, who felt as though their mattering was contingent on their performance, as in they only mattered when. And the other group of kids who also seemed to be struggling the most were kids who felt like they mattered to their parents. They heard it in the words, but they were never depended on or relied on to add meaningful value back to anyone other than themselves. So what these kids lacked was social proof that they mattered.
We're talking to journalist and author Jennifer Wallace about her new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your experiences, or your questions for our guest. Has this sounded like something that's gone on in your family, the need to achieve things, to do well in school in the hopes of maybe getting into a good college? Was pressure ever too much, do you think, for your kid or for you if you're the kid in this equation? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Jennifer Wallace is with us. We're talking about her new book. It's called Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question, an experience to share as a parent, a student, maybe a teacher, call in at 800-642-1234. Jennifer, we often hope to make sure our kids are independent and self-reliant, and you say those are good things. But you say we sometimes fall down in how we teach things about interconnection with others, supporting others and reaching out for support when we need it.
Yes. So one of the traits that these healthy strivers had in common was that they knew the skills of interdependence. That is, they knew how to rely on others and how to have others rely on them in healthy ways. I think often we believe, as you mentioned, that our job is just to raise, you know, very independent adults, but really what we need to do is teach them how to, in the words of Ned Halliwell, never worry alone. That the greatest safety nets we could give our kids are relationships, meaningful, deep connections with others.
One way we can teach that, you say, Jennifer, is to demonstrate it as parents ourselves, to seek help, to seek networks, to talk about parenting with other people.
The number one intervention for any child in distress is to make sure that the primary caregivers, most often the parents, that their support system is intact, that their mental health is intact, because our children's resilience rests on our resilience, and our resilience rests on the depth and support of our relationships. So it is critical that we model, but that we also just take the time that we need to be fed, to be seen, heard, and nourished by our relationships.
Another really humble thing parents can do is encourage chores, you write. Why is that? How can chores help foster that feeling of interdependence?
Right. So chores, and I would argue that maybe we stop calling them chores, because I think instead maybe we just talk about things that the family needs help with and brainstorming who can help it. What chores do is they teach, you know, family is the first society, the first introduction to society for a child. So chores teach kids how to be contributing members of the family, AKA society. And the way that I started talking about chores per the experts that I interviewed was noting how they were helping the family. So not like you have to do this because I said so, but dad's making dinner, so we need somebody to set the table. Mom's working on a deadline. Who can take your brother to soccer practice? So these are ways that we help, that we create this healthy interdependence within a family.
Talking to Jennifer Wallace about her new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. Jennifer, we've been focusing on parents and kids. You also have advice for schools and colleges. Let's start at schools. What can teachers, district administrators do to help take some of this achievement pressure off of kids?
I mean, I think one great place to start is through this mattering framework. Mattering has been an idea since the 1980s, but it's been locked away in the ivory tower. What my book has done is it's the first commercial book to bring this idea into action. So teaching parents, teaching kids, teaching teachers, the language around mattering, the framework. And one way to do this, I co-founded a nonprofit, thematteringmovement.com, to give teachers free tools. Another thing that schools can do is to make sure that there is support for the teachers. So just like parents are the first responders to our kids' struggles, and so our resilience matters, it's the same with teachers. Our teachers are the first responders to 30 kids in that classroom. And what we need to do is shore up their mattering and their resilience.
Probably want to bring you back for a whole nother conversation about the concept of mattering, but can you give us a sense of what that might look like in a classroom?
Mattering in a classroom is having every single child there feel like they not only are valued, but that they are depended on and relied on to add value back. Oprah Winfrey talked about how her fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Duncan, was the first person to make her feel like she mattered because she gave her a job to do. I believe it was watering the plants. So to help unlock our kids' sense of mattering, the idea that they are valued, we can do that by showing them how they can make a positive impact on the world around them, even just watering plants.
Let's wrap up, Jennifer, with a message maybe to a parent who hears themselves in this. They might think, yeah, I love my kid, but it does sound like maybe I'm putting too much pressure on the grades and the extracurriculars and so on. How can they start to tack away from that?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is minimize criticism and prioritize affection. Minimize criticism by separating the deed from the doer and prioritize affection. Greet your kids once a day the way the family dog greets you, with total unabashed joy.
Jennifer, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's Jennifer Wallace, journalist and author of the new book, Never Enough, When Achievement Culture Becomes Toxic and What We Can Do About It. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is 15 gifts this hour. Keely Boltina is with me now. Your gift right now is super important because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. All the shows you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, I'm really struck by the conversation you just had in the last segment. This concept of acknowledging your kids for who they are. I mean, we joke about how they kind of show up as their own little beings and you just kind of guide them. And the idea that you could be seen as who you are, and that's a way to find a place in the family, not gauging on achievement. That's an incredible thing that I'll take with me. I mean, it's these kinds of conversations and these concepts that you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you value that.
WPR's listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all the conversations and news stories you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
when you're doing that, consider making an ongoing monthly gift. It's a reliable and really convenient way to support Wisconsin Public Radio programs. In fact, more than 26,000 sustainers agree.
Join them. We think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card. That donation will continue automatically every month. It's easy to get it started with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount works for you. You can do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Think about when you listen to WPR and who you're listening with. I mean, maybe you listen to WPR with your kids and you enjoy how the conversations spark even more conversation, or you have the radio on at dinner. Maybe you are listening in the background while you're making dinner and you have something to say when you all sit down at the table. You've got real content right there in front of you.
Public radio is a great way to start quality conversations. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps those conversation starters going strong.
Got to think about what it's worth to you. Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, that's a pretty great value. A dollar a day, it's less than a cup of coffee. It's certainly less than a soda from a machine or even a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set it up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This hour, we do have a goal of 15 gifts. It helps keep us on track. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, join in. You can do that at WPR.org or use the phone. Call 888-202-2552. You make WPR possible when you give.
Ask for the new WPR baseball cap when you give $15 a month or more. It's got this retro-looking embroidered radio, and it says Wisconsin Public Radio. It's embroidered, and it's cursive, right? Like script?
It's beautiful.
For those who can still read that? It's perfect. No, it's a cool hat. I think you're really going to like it. It's going to show that you value and support WPR programs. It's yours when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Want to give a quick shout out to our sustaining members. Thank you so much. If you are one of our sustaining members, make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. You choose the amount and then you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can join a whole bunch of great people who have given, who have helped Wisconsin Public Radio grow and change over the years to meet the needs, the changing needs of you, Wisconsin, people listening around the country, for that matter. You can join them with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there's been a renewed push to bring nonpartisan primaries and ranked choice voting to Wisconsin, as we just heard in the news. We'll hear from two state lawmakers about why they think this new system could change congressional elections in Wisconsin for the better. First, Keely Boltina joins me in the studio for the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. It's the first day of the drive. Get us off to a great start with your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts, and we want to say thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, join in right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the programs you value possible.
Chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio has covered an issue that's close to you. Perhaps it's state issues or politics or the environment or healthcare or families. I mean, you count on WPR for shows that you find relevant and interesting and enjoyable. Because WPR touches your life, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, We are. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners, people just like you.
Okay, or maybe you wanted to listen for a while just to see what you liked and if you really liked what you heard. You're still listening. So now is the perfect time to support the programming you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, it really makes a difference. So choose the amount and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR baseball cap with your gift of $15 a month. This stylish light green hat is the perfect way to cover up a bad hair day, keep the sun off your face, or add pizzazz to your outfit.
Being that it's a hat, I think you've got to be realistic and you're going to have to wear this on your head.
The words Wisconsin Public Radio span across the top in an arch. It's got a really cool vintage look that's definitely in style.
Ooh, I like this hat.
I love this new WPR hat because, one, it's green, my favorite color, and two, I am a sucker for a really slick-looking retro radio.
My hair is long enough to ponytail and sneak it through that hole in the back, so baseball caps are fun.
Ask for your WPR baseball cap and wear it with pride, knowing that you're not just sporting another fashion accessory. You're supporting the in-depth reporting and smart entertainment our community relies on. Give $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Make the donation, get the hat at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. During this fall member drive, Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina on Central Time. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference for our entire community.
Our goal is 15 gifts this hour. This goal is important. We set these goals to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on. Be part of that. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, add the new WPR baseball cap to your wardrobe. You just heard about it. Light green hat, retro embroidered radio, and WPR branding. Get it when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Use the hat to spread the word about Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, speaking of spreading the word, Jill in Windsor says, I so appreciate the mature and compassionate attitude of WPR hosts. So, Rob, thank you so much for that, along with all of our other WPR hosts. And Jill, thank you so much for your support.
Thanks for the kind words, Jill, and for your support. How about you? How much do you count on Wisconsin Public Radio day in and day out? Well, please know that we count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now online at WPR.org or make a phone call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers is making the case for a Final Five voting system in Wisconsin that would change how we elect U.S. Senate and House representatives. Final Five voting, it's a two-part process. First, all the candidates in the primary would run on a single ballot regardless of party affiliation. Then in the general election, voters would use a ranked choice voting ballot to pick their first choice, second choice, third, so on. A similar bill was introduced in the Wisconsin legislature back in 2021. Didn't make it out of the Senate Elections Committee, but our next guests are hoping a bipartisan push could finally bring the legislation to the governor's office to be signed into law. If that happened, Wisconsin would become the third state in the nation to use ranked choice voting in at least some elections. State Senator Jeff Smith is a Democrat representing Senate District 31. That includes most of the city of Eau Claire and the surrounding area. Senator Smith, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate being here.
And State Representative Ron Tussler is a Republican representing Assembly District 3 near the Fox Valley area. Representative Tussler, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
All right, before we get to the why, I want to break down the nuts and bolts here. I'll ask each of you to take a part of the process. Representative Tussler, talk us through how this primary would work a little more.
Yeah, well, you don't need a primary unless you have more than five candidates. But if you have five candidates, we skip the primary and we go straight to the general. So when you went to that general election, you would see five different candidates, both Republicans and Democrats, and then you'd be ranking your preferences on that five. If you have more than five, then that's when a primary would be necessary to remove the least likely candidates to win in that general.
And Senator Smith, at no point here are we seeing a Democratic primary, a Republican primary, or what have you. Everybody's all in the same shebang?
That's how it works. It's one primary. You vote for one candidate from an office, but it couldn't be from any party. And it really encourages independents and others to run for office and encourages voters to be able to vote for the person that they really actually align with best.
And Representative Tussler, where this gets a little more complicated is in that general, as you mentioned, we've got the ranked choice. We've seen it happen. There was a prominent one in Alaska, for example. As a voter, what are we going to see on the ballot? And then what is the clerk going to do with my ranked choices?
Yeah, so right now when you vote on a general election, you get to vote between these different candidates and you just pick one. And that's all the information we find. We find maybe you like the Green Party candidate the most, or maybe you like the Republican Party candidate most. That's the only information we're getting from the voter. But with this, with the ranked choice system, you know, and with this final five system, what you're going to get is a little bit more information. We find out who your number one choice is still. And if your number one choice gets the majority of votes, that's the person that wins. But if that person doesn't get a majority, then we like start looking at your second place preference. So we say, okay, well, maybe you like this person the most, but they're not going to get a majority. Now let's look at how your second place people did. And now we get to use kind of those preferences to find out, you know, which person really didn't just get the most number one votes, but kind of has the most trust and consensus from the whole community.
Senator Smith, I can hear maybe a local election clerk getting a little nervous hearing about this. Like, this sounds, elections are already kind of complicated as it is. Is this going to be even more complicated? Is this going to add cost and pressure on local election officials?
Well, not necessarily. That shouldn't be the case. The machines that are being used to count votes now are already able to handle this sort of idea of instant runoff voting, and so it shouldn't be a problem at all.
Representative Tussler, this would be the U.S. Senate races and then our House races we have in each district every 2 years. Why just those two federal legislative races?
Well, one of the really interesting things is that this idea, this final five idea, came from Democrat Representative Catherine Gale, and she wrote a book called The Political Industry with Congressman Mike Gallagher, who's a congressman up where I'm at in Appleton. And Mike Gallagher wrote the foreword of this, and he would be one of the first people that would be on this ballot, assuming he runs for Congress again. So this is something that, you know, that has some, you know, broad consensus among the people that might actually be on the ballot. So I think that's exciting, and that's, you know, a good reason why we're kind of focused on this, is that this is an idea that, you know, two representatives from different parties went to Congress and came back with on a way to solve some of the incentive problems that we have in government right now. I mean, there's an incentive just in government in general to try to really focus on your primary voters. And if we had one election where we brought everybody together and we didn't need these primaries, you'd have a situation where, you know, folks would have a different set of incentives. Instead of trying to just make primary voters happy, they have to think about everybody.
We're talking to Representative Ron Tussler, a Republican, and State Senator Jeff Smith, a Democrat. They are bipartisan sponsors of this legislation we're talking about, a final five voting for congressional and U.S. Senate races here in Wisconsin. Senator Smith, let's talk about more about the incentives that Representative Tussler was just talking about. On a practical level, how do you see this wide open primary, then the final five voting, maybe changing that incentive structure for someone from our current whoever does the best in their district system?
It changes a lot. It changes the way candidates talk about their campaigns and with their voters. I like telling the story of a voter who told the story that, you know, a candidate came to their door and said, "Hey, I'd like to have your vote." And the person said, "Well, I already have your opponent signed in my yard." And he said, "Yeah, but how about if I got your second place vote?" and that just demonstrates that, you know, you can't be mouthing off about your opponent and you got to be focused on the issues. You need to attract your voters by the issues and your values you stand for, and because you want to get their second choice or their third choice to be able to satisfy that. So you're taking away that incentive of satisfying the very extreme ends of the spectrum and instead focusing on the everyday voter.
Representative Tussler, as I mentioned a couple times, this is a bipartisan bill. We've got you two and other Democrats and Republicans behind it. I think there's a natural tendency, especially these days, anytime anybody talks about changing elections, the suspicion that, is this some kind of trap? Is this a thing that's going to help the other side and hurt us? Can you make the case that no, in fact, either party would still be competitive in this system?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a really good point. And it is, I think, one of the primary concerns that we run against when we're talking about such an influential change. I mean, this really would be a big difference in the way some folks are voting. It would take education. It would take experience. You know, I mean, it would just be a different system. But, you know, we really just have to use our brains sometimes, and we have to try to figure out how can we make the system better. I mean, Americans just agree in general that you know, the federal government, certainly is not doing very well representing our interests. And, you know, there's very few Republicans or Democrats that are very satisfied with how things are going in D.C. And this is just an opportunity for us to, you know, try something new and try something different. And it's not like it's not done in other states. I mean, if you look at, for example, Alaska, some folks are concerned about the fact that Sarah Palin lost with this with a ranked choice system. It wasn't final five, but with a ranked choice system. And while they have that concern, I think they kind of forget what Alaskan politics were at the time. I mean, 90-some percent, like 98 or some very large percentage of Alaskans already had an opinion of Sarah Palin. But over 70% of them didn't like her. Weren't going to vote for her when she entered that campaign. But in that same election, that same ranked choice election in Alaska, Alaska elected Republicans, you know, throughout the board other than Sarah Palin. So you have a situation where, you know, folks get concerned about that. But we already have places that are doing it, and we're not seeing that these elections, this is somehow being manipulated, you know, to help one party over another. And you know, if we were seeing that, then there wouldn't be a lot of interest on whatever party was disadvantaged. And we got such good bipartisan support on this that clearly it's not as big of a concern once you look at the details.
Let's bring on a caller. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Yeah, I have a question about the final five ranked. You have some voters who won't choose a number one. So, for example, a candidate could get most of the number one votes, but another candidate could get most of the number two votes. So who would win that election? The person who got the most number two votes, which might be more, like 13,000, than the guy or person who got the number one vote, which might be only 10,000. Who would win that election?
Jeff, thanks for the call. Senator Smith, as I understand it, you're first looking at who wins the number one votes.
Well, how do I want to answer this question? That can't happen. I mean, if you're only going to vote for one candidate, that's your number one choice. You can't skip a number one choice to take a number two choice. I mean, that just doesn't happen. But the person who gets more than 50% of the votes overall wins. It could be the first round, it could be the second round, it could be the third round, but whenever someone gets over 50%, that's the winner of the election in a instant runoff.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. So one big question here is you two and your colleagues are looking at changing things for federal legislators in Congress and the U.S. Senate. How about your own gigs in the state legislature, Representative Tussler? Would you look, if you got through this first step, at ranked choice for the state legislature?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we would, you know, make sure that before we have everything on one ballot, we'd kind of learn from this, you know, system first. I think that a lot of the problems and concerns people are nervous about would be resolved, you know, pretty fast once they understand what this means and that we're just collecting more information. So, you know, once it worked, you know, why not move it to the other, you know, different bodies in Wisconsin? I mean, what we're doing is we're collecting more information and just doing elections in a better way. You know, there's no reason not to do that.
Senator Smith, what are you hearing from your legislative colleagues who haven't signed on? Are you getting interest from the Democratic caucus in either chamber on this?
Yeah, well, we've only just begun to circulate this bill this session, and so we don't really know who or how many of our colleagues will be signing on. So that's a tough question to answer at this point. But I would like to add to what Representative Tussler just said, and that is that
I would love to see this this form of elections go through all of our offices, including the state offices. But the fact is, this is the way we want to start by like you said, experimenting with the federal offices, because fact is, it's a lot easier for our colleagues to affect the federal offices and see how it works rather than immediately affecting our own offices. Let's just be honest about that. There's a little bit of we want to be very pragmatic about, we want to be sure that they're not too worried about this system won't work. I expect it to work, and I expect that once they see that it works in the federal level, we will all be happy to include all of our offices.
And Representative Tesler, go ahead.
I was just going to say I would second that. I think that obviously is a concern as well.
And briefly, Representative Tesler, as we wrap up, your party controls both chambers and the committees and what goes to a vote. Are you getting, and this didn't happen last time, this was tried a couple of years ago, are you getting any positive buzz from your own party?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we expect to have I'm on campaigns and elections, so I'm hoping to get an opportunity to explain this. I'm confident that Chairman Krug will give me a hearing. And we've also communicated with the chairman on the Senate side, Knodel, and we're confident he's going to say yes, too. So, you know, we're going to get through this committee hearing stage. And, you know, that's when a lot of folks will start solidifying their opinion. And we've got to win those people over if we're going to get past the committee hearing stage. So that's our focus right now. But, you know, when you have a good idea, you expect it to work.
We'll leave it there. Representative Tesler, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Senator Smith, thanks for being with us.
Oh, I appreciate this. Thank you.
Been talking to Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith and Republican State Assembly Representative Ron Tesler. They are co-authors of a new bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature. It would bring nonpartisan primaries and ranked choice voting to congressional elections here in Wisconsin. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs. It's the largest piece at it's what makes WPR your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Keely Boltina is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 15 people to join in. When that happens, we meet this hour's goal. We set these hourly goals to make sure that WPR has the funding for the programs that you value. So make your donation now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
That last conversation, a great example of the kind of service we've been providing here at Wisconsin Public Radio for years, bringing your elected officials on to explain what they're doing, what they have in the works. And that might be here on a talk show. It might be from our amazing news team. We try to make sure that your Wisconsin elected officials spread their message here. You get to listen, see what they have to say, decide if you like it, want to support it, or not. It's the kind of conversation you can count on here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR is listener supported. And that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the variety of topics that you tune in for every day possible. Now is the time. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And when you make that gift of $15 a month or more, the WPR baseball cap will be your new go-to for keeping the sun out of your face or covering up one of them bad hair days. It's available when you give $15 a month or more in support of the WPR programs that we all count on. Make your gift, ask for your hat at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 during the fall member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. Listener support is the number one source of funding for the WPR programs you count on. And that's why your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose has a really big impact.
The world is constantly changing. How about that for an understatement? It is so hard to keep up. As a listener, you rely on WPR for daily news and information.
WPR members make that access possible. Today, invest in the programs that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everybody to enjoy. Your gift makes a difference right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We don't tell you how much to give. Everyone should make the gift that works for them. For you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your home phone plan for your family. Listen to WPR every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give.
That's right. Ask for that new WPR baseball cap that Rob mentioned. That's at the $15 a month or more donation level. It's got that cool retro embroidered radio and, of course, the WPR branding. It's yours when you give $15 a month, so do that now. You can go to WPR.org or donate by calling 888-202-2552.
Hey, if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Danny in Beaver Dam says, I really appreciate that WPR provides live call-in shows. Danny, we do too.
Thank you so much, Danny, for giving. How about you make your gift, support public radio in Wisconsin, online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.